in 1 Peter, the first chapter, where we'll be reading from while you pray for a few minutes of time. Sister Mary said to me at the beginning of the service tonight, she said something to the tune of, you be able to preach tonight. And I told her, I said, I don't know. I preached everything I knew this morning. But I try to preach everything I know every time. And the only thing I know is Jesus, Him crucified and risen from the dead, and alive and well, sitting at the throne, making intercession for you and I. That's what the message is all about. No matter how it may come, what the text may be, and what the scripture reading may come from, it's all about the Lord and His goodness to each and every one of us. 1 Peter, the first chapter. If you would like to go with us there, starting at verse 5, I said I'll read a couple. Let's read 5 verses here. He says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." And stop reading there with verse 9. And he's given us a lot in these few verses this evening. I like the part in verse 8 where he said that we have not seen him, but we love him. Do you love him tonight? Yes. Yet we don't see him, we believe him. I believe him because of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And we know that it is impossible for God to lie. He is always telling us the truth. And he said that we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Tonight I'd like to bring to you a message about rejoicing and how that we ought to, if anybody ought to have joy, it is God's people. Because he said that there will be times that that we would rejoice even though he's going through a lot. Though the trials may be hard. And sometimes the devil fights so hard. And he doesn't fight fair. He'll hit us where he knows that it hurts the worst. And oftentimes it's not you or I, but it's through our loved ones that he attacks us. But even through all of this, Peter said that we love the Lord, we believe him, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I believe that if we're not careful, our joy will dissipate. We'll look around us and see that, like the world today, and say, what do we have to be joyous about? I have, my life today is no different than it was yesterday. In fact, things have changed maybe since yesterday that the devil will tell you that you have no reason to have joy. But we know that the devil is a liar. And he is the one who tries to steal our joy. But God's people ought to have more joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, because we know that this is not the end. this is just the beginning to where we get to go home to be with the Lord for all eternity. I believe that a lot of Christians have lost their joy because they've dabbed in things that they ought not to. If we go back to the book of Psalms in the 51st chapter, we'll find that David prayed there, because David, a man after God's own heart, he had joy. You remember when the tabernacle came back into the city, how that he got out there and he danced with joy because the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle, had been brought back. And even his wife rebuked him for the way that he acted. She thought because he was king, he ought to contain his joy and not act the way that he did. But folks, can I preach tonight, once you've been with God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Lord come over you, no matter what else is on your mind and your heart, there's joy that just bubbles up. Sometimes people say, why do y'all cry so much in church? It's because that joy starts to come to the outside. We forget about all the things that is going on around us, and we remember what God has done for us and the joy that we have way down on the inside of our heart and our life. David, in Psalms 51, he got to a place where he wasn't as joyous. Does anybody else remember a time in your life when you had joy unspeakable? A time when you was in the house of the Lord and God just blessed you so richly that you was just full of joy. And you say, you make it sound like we're able to control it. We're able to determine the level of joy that we have by the life that we live. David got out, and you know that David sinned against God. In fact, one sin contained multiple sins. See, sometimes the devil will show you one thing and you think that one thing ain't that bad, but he won't show you everything that's associated with it. He looked upon Bathsheba when he should have been at war. But he saw something that got his eye. And he stayed home. He saw Bathsheba, you know the story. He had her husband put at the front of the line and then deserted. He was killed because she was with child that belonged to David. And David thought, Bathsheba is my joy. Only to have God show up and say, what you have found for joy, I shall turn to mourning. And the days of mourning hit David's life, and they stayed in his household the rest of the days of David's life and even into his children's life. Because you remember when David died, the tribes split up. There was 2 to the north and 10 to the south. And even with Jeroboam and Rehoboam, there was trouble all the days of their lives. But in Psalms 51, David prayed about his joy because he missed it. Have you ever been in a place where you miss the joy that you once had? You long to have that joy back. And David prayed a prayer. He started out. It wasn't just one verse, but he started out in the first part of this chapter. But in the 12th verse, the one that is recited the most, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David missed what he had in the Lord. Today, if we're not careful, the devil will come and take away the joy of our salvation from us. And you say, as Jack, you testified, he can't take away the saving of our soul, but he certainly could take away the joy of our salvation. I love to be in church when God's Spirit moves and I can feel the joy begin to swell up. And you can feel it tonight, can't you? When the Lord begins to move, people that come in grumpy begin to get a smile on their face. People that come in downtrodden and worried, you see that even though they don't know what the answer is going to be, you see that joy start to come around upon them. You see, tonight, we've got joy, and if we're not careful, we'll lose our joy. Anything we take for granted, we're at risk of losing. And if we think that just because we showed up, God ought to bless us, we are wrong. It ought to be the other way. Because God showed up, we ought to bless Him. And that's what rejoicing is all about. It's not God necessarily blessing us. It's us rejoicing in what God has already done for us. You know, sometimes we as Baptists, it's almost like today's modern corporations. It's not what you did for me yesterday. What are you going to do for me today, God? And how many of us can testify, God has already done more for us than what we deserve. We ought to have joy. I saw, and I made mention of this this morning in a different tense. But when I saw, I've lost her name, Rachel's little girl, Natalie, thank you. I'm getting old. When I saw her without her helmet, I rejoiced. My spirit rejoiced. When she testified the other evening in the service about not having to wear it as long, and just at certain times, my spirit rejoiced. When I saw Miss Ruby this morning, my spirit rejoiced. When I saw the church rejoicing in the Lord, my spirit rejoiced. June told me, she said, every time somebody raised their hand in the message this morning, you preached even harder. You see, when you see people rejoicing, it just spreads like wildfire. This one's happy, and then it goes to somebody else. Folks, I don't want to be down. I want to be lifted up. And many times, the only way I can be lifted up is by lifting Him up that lives in me to show the world, devil, you may defeat me, but let me tell you about the one who lives inside of me. He is greater than you are. And you come to tear everything down, He comes to build it all back up. We've got many tonight that need joy because of all the sad things that they've gone through. Some that the devil has told them that they'll never have joy anymore. Let me point out tonight, the devil is not in charge of your joy. If you listen to him, he can cause you to lose your joy. But he is not in charge of your joy. You say, if he's not in charge, who is? We are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think, poor me, all the time, it's going to be poor me. Amen? If you think all the time I'm defeated, you'll be defeated. If you think I'll never get out of this trouble, this situation that I'm in, you'll probably be stuck there for a long time. But if you think on the good things that God has already done for you and yours in your life, there is something that will start stirring on the inside, and that joy will flow. And the next thing you know, you might be able to speak to the devil. You said, I can't, but look what God is about to do for me, because I don't ask him for anything for today or for tomorrow, but I go back to what he did yesterday, and I say, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I have joy in my soul for what the Lord has done for me. And I rejoice. You know what that word means? The root word is joy, and it has re at the beginning of it. It means do it again. How many of you thank the Lord over and over and over for the saving of your soul? And yet again, I say, thank you, Lord, for saving a sinner like me. How many times have we thanked him for our family? They're not perfect, but neither are we. And I say, thank you, Lord, for the kids. Sometimes I can't let me get my tongue straight here. Sometimes I can hardly tolerate them. Y'all won't say it, preacher will, and then you'll say amen. And our kids are older. I got a 40-year-old son that sometimes just gets all over my last nerve. Amen? See, there's joy coming out now, because you think it, but the preacher has said it. I thank God for the grandkids, but there's sometimes they can wear at my joy. And then there's sometimes I look at them and I say, how blessed I am. Amen? And how blessed it is to have the things that God has given to us. Sometimes we come in here and we say, it's just another church service. God is saying, stir up that joy that you have in your heart, and it won't be just another service. It'll be one that you will walk away and say how good it was to be in the house of God on a Sunday night, and the joy I felt down on the inside of my heart, knowing my life is not perfect, my circumstances aren't perfect, but there's one who liveth and reigneth in me that gives me perfect joy. In 1 Thessalonians, he says it like this. I've got so many markers. In the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, he says to rejoice evermore. We ought to go to our grave rejoicing in the Lord. I told you about many years ago, I went over here to hospice and saw Sister Meadows. We went to church with her and Brother Leonard for many years. And before I went in the room, he told me that she was in bad shape and probably wouldn't even recognize me. Probably wouldn't even be able to talk to me because she was nearing her time to leave. Have you ever went somewhere to try to cheer somebody up and they cheer you up? I went in that hospice room, and she did not acknowledge us in there. She was not able to speak. She was in bad shape, just waiting for the call of the Lord. But I rubbed her hand and said, thank God for you, sister, for what an inspiration she had been in our life. And just a few moments later, that little hand, some of y'all that know her, knows that when she began to shout, she would always raise that hand and it would begin to shake. Even on her deathbed, that hand went up, that arm went up, and that hand began to shake. She didn't say anything. She didn't move, but I could just see her. She, even in her dying hours, had joy knowing it'll be just a little while. And then I'll be on the streets of glory. And I won't have this sickness to confine that I've got confined in my body, but I'm going to have a brand new body, And my joy then will be more than just raising my hands in praise. I'll shout all over heaven and sing a song that the angels cannot sing for eternity. You talking about having joy. We ought to have joy. But we allow, Brother Ron, our circumstances to determine our joy. When what we ought to do is let our joy control our circumstances. You think about it. I've seen people that no matter how bad the news was, they always found something good in it. Sister Edwina, you tell her something bad, she says, oh, but Lord's going to work it out. Am I preaching the truth? You say, oh, but it's so bad. She says, oh, lift up your head. It's going to be all right. You see, we can either be downtrodden or we can be lifted up. We can sit there and say, poor me, or we can say, I'm going to rejoice because I know what God has done for me in the past, and there is nothing too big for my God. In fact, sometimes we do it wrong. We wait for God to answer before we rejoice. When I remember folks walking and praising the Lord in the front of the church house and raising hands and not knowing what God was going to do for them, but they praised him knowing that God was going to do something on their behalf. And you say, you better not get the chicken before the eggs, get the cart before the horse. You better not praise him. What if it don't happen? Has God ever let any of you down? So go ahead and rejoice. Because in my closing remarks, if we wait until everything's perfect, we will never rejoice. We will never rejoice. Because the day you think everything's perfect, watch out. Something is about to happen. You better look out. But even in the midst of a storm, we can rejoice. We can have joy. And you know, I for one will confess. It seems like today's been a confessing day. There have been times that I've allowed Satan to steal my joy. When what I should have said is, Roger, don't let people, don't let circumstances, don't let talk, don't let the loss of anything steal your joy. Remember, you are still God's. He is still on the throne, and he wants us to be happy and rejoicing, praising and honoring him for all that he has done. And you say, you make it sound like it's so easy. No. It's hard sometimes to put everything behind you and say, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to rejoice because I know who my Savior is and I know what he has done for me. Sometimes we, Brother Ott, we just need somebody to shake us real good and say, listen, straighten up. You've got no reason to be down and out. Look where God brought you from. Look what he has done for you all these years. And he is not about to forsake you now. So get your joy back. Get your praise on. Amen. You know, that's why so many churches, I guess, have to have praise teams and worship teams. Because people come in all flat-lipped. And they got to have somebody to get them fired up. You know what I say? Let the Holy Spirit fire us up. And it will bounce all over the house. It'll be more powerful than an atomic bomb when we start praising the Lord and considering the joy, not that we should have, but the joy that we have. The joy that we have. It's like anything else in life. You can look for the good in it, or you can settle for the bad. I choose to lift up my head and say, Lord, I want to have joy. I want to have joy. Not worldly joy. I mean, I appreciate the things. I'm sure that on the 29th out there at Perfect North, we'll have a few laughs. How many of you kids are going to get on the skis and those boards and all that? You know, I see a lot of heads shaking no. They're smart kids, I'm telling you. But when I, you know, it's human nature. When you see somebody fall down, what do? You laugh. Unless it's you, you look around to see if anybody saw you. Right? Those are times of joy. But we do not need a circumstance for us to have joy. We ought to have joy all the time. Because God is good, and all the time He is good to you and I. Amen? Do you have joy? You say, Lord, help me. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. It's hard to have joy when circumstances come along in your life. When you bury a loved one, how can I have joy, Roger? The same way the rest of us. I have joy in knowing they left behind a testimony of knowing Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. And I have joy in knowing I shall see them again when this life shall come to an end. Amen? Do you have joy? Are you joyful? Do you meditate upon the good things? Or do you get stuck pondering all those bad things? I mean, how many of you have had bad things to happen to you in your life? Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. But you know what? The good outweigh, you're taking my message. The good outweigh the bad. Amen? Give God a hand clap of praise in the house for His joy. Because you see, He said, it's not your joy, but it's my joy that I put in you that we can rejoice in today. Amen? Let's get a song of invitation tonight. If you've lost your joy, or maybe on the scale, your joy is nowhere near where it should be. And you say, how can I become more joyful? I'm not saying be false or pretend. You ever see folks that they just pretend? They just pretend. Fake smiles. Fake laughter. It's fake joy. Real joy will show and it will tell. You can disguise it for a bit, but you can't cover it up for long, because fake is fake. And you know, everything that's fake is of the devil. Because God made everything perfect. The devil mimics everything God made. And people think those things that the devil has will bring them joy. But what does Scripture say? There's joy in sin for a season. But then there comes a payday. Amen. Tonight, if your joy is not where it should be, not by my test, but by your test of God's word, then this altar is open. Or maybe you want to have joy, but you feel like the world is just collapsing around you. We've all been there. But let me encourage you. Better days are coming. Better days are coming. Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song? Just one verse. Yes.
For sinner, harden not your heart.
Be saved.
Be saved.
If you're lost, God can give you that perfect joy.
Oh,
if you're saved, he can restore that joy. Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. I like to see everybody happy, don't you? But I know some people that are just so grumpy. They're just, everything is miserable. And don't y'all look around. I ain't talking about nobody here. They just grumpy. You know, pick on Brother Holcomb back there before he got saved. Rob and them was afraid to walk past his house. They'd go to the other side of the street because he was a grumpy man. Am I preaching the truth?
That's a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's the first amen Rob said all day. But then God got a hold of him. And he's got joy now where that misery once lived. Amen. God bless you today. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to have a time of fellowship downstairs. And I hope everybody can stay. You've got to see this cake that this man made. Oh, my goodness gracious. I believe me and Charlene come to the conclusion he's got way too much time on his hands. But then I know we talked this morning. He's busy. He's busy all the time. And then you know what I find, though? If you want something done, find somebody that's busy. They'll get it done. They're busy for a reason. It's because they're always doing something. Then there's the rest of us. We're always doing something, but it just ain't the right stuff. Amen? So we're going to ask the blessing over the food before we go downstairs so everybody can just jump in and enjoy yourself. Brother Jack, would you ask the blessing for us today?
Amen.